1926.
We are recording.
Oh, we are recording, okay. 4 past 6, this is November 19, 2025. I call this meeting of the Nashua Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yep.
Secretary Duquette.
Here.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Secretary. Director.
I
blew that
natural,
one.
I guess.
Director Duquette.
Here.
And our new director, Garrett.
Here.
And Secretary Holland is running late.
Yep, she is unfortunately stuck in traffic and, you know, ETA is 6:15. So with that, public input. Does anybody have anything to say pertaining to this evening's agenda? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of September 24, 2025.
Put forth the motion to approve the minutes of September 24, 2025.
I'll second that. Okay, discussion, please. Okay, all those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of September 24, 2025, raise your hands.
It's not roll call because we don't have just remote. Right. That's what I mean. It's been a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Do you want me to put you down for a upstage?
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the minutes. Yeah.
Fair enough. So we have three A's and that carries. So, Treasurer's report, approval of the September 2025 financial statements, subject to audit.
Okay, everything's working well with the operations, expenses, revenue coming in as expected. No unusual expenditures for the last 2 months. So the proposed budget that we do have in the system that Susan worked at is our actual expenses are pretty close to what we expected for the proposed budget. So nothing to get out of the ordinary. The balance sheet continues to be strong. No collection issues, but just with receivables. Payables are current. And everything is cooking along. We have our auditors came in. It's that time of year again. And Susan handled them wonderfully. So that year-end work is in process for June of 25. So, does anybody have any questions?
Joe, you're doing the auditor's report.
I'm going to hold my sight until later.
Okay.
All right, put forth the motion to approve the financials from September 2025 and October 2025, subject to audit.
Okay, I'll second the motion. Any further discussion regarding the financials for the past couple months? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All those in favor of approving September 2025 and October 2025 financial statements subject to audit, please say aye.
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 And no one is checking that, isn't you, sir? So the motion carries. Let's see, next item for Treasurer's Report, landing fee rates.
Hey,
were you going to talk about, or you already did talk about the budget, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right now it's still the proposed budget. We haven't.
Right, okay.
Say again?
Nope, I'm sorry, I didn't. I tilt my glasses up, landing fees in between, sorry.
All right. Yeah, landing fees. The airport has been charging somewhat. Basically, there are no landing fees on aircraft below 12,500 pounds. which is basically the stone part on his chest, that the weight on top of his chest. And so that rate hasn't changed for a long time. So when we looked at it, it was brought to our attention that it was comparatively to other airports very, very low. So we're doubling it. But that's our proposal, is to double it, which sounds like a lot, but I think it goes from what.
So, Dave, if I can.
Sure.
So we're going from $1.10 to $2.20.
Right. $1.10 per pound over.
Over 12,500, right, max takeoff weight aircraft. But as we say we're doubling it, keep in mind that I did a little research on surrounding airports, Beverly, Lawrence, et cetera, our competing airports, and they're as high as 315.
Right. So doubling it is not going to
hurt. Right, and they also impose fees on airplanes from 3,000 to 6,000, 6,000 to, and we're not going to do that,
right.
So. Even though we're doubling it, it's still a bargain for a landing fee.
Yeah, I mean, you got some of the fees are $20. You know, they're flying in a $7 million piece of equipment, and they're paying $20 to $30 for landing fees. So, I think we're pretty safe. And I think the annual amount Susan has struck with been about $8,000, so that's going to go up by that same amount, assuming you know the same amount of aircraft. Same type of aircraft. So that's a proposal to, I don't know what we have to do this.
There's a motion. Do we want to amend that motion to include the 12,500? Motion basically talks about 1,000 pounds max landing weight.
Yeah.
So I think we want to put the 12,500.
For above.
So go ahead and we'll put forth the motion to increase the landing fee rate for aircraft 12,500 pounds and above, as calculated by max landing weight, from the current $1.10 per 1,000 pounds to $2.20 per pound.
Max takeoff weight at 12,500, whatever it is.
Looking to buy a new airplane?
You got a hot, if you have a hot air balloon with lead balance.
Bruce Goose is going to pay.
Larry?
How many aircraft are based here in Ashworth that exceed the 12,500?
There's currently over 10 right now.
So would it affect the 10 that are based?
It's transient that it affects.
So
it's not based aircraft.
It wouldn't affect the wind.
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Another benefit to being a tenant at Nashua Airport.
Is that the case down in Bedford, too?
Probably not. Do you have any insight on that, Paris?
It's the same thing.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. If you're paying or not.
Yeah, most airports, that's the case.
Yeah, remember the transient aircraft pay down in Bedford, but you know we have a friend who's based in Bedford. Mm-hmm. He has an extra, and it's like he does not pay.
How are these landing fees collected if an aircraft comes?
So the FBO, which Terrence represents, the fixed base operator, they go out and they handle the jet into the ramp, marshal them in, and they take care of all the billing, and then they send us a payment monthly.
Okay. Any more discussion on the landing fees? Okay. Okay. All in favor of increasing land fees as described in Joe's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That motion carries. By the way, I don't know if anyone else caught this. I read this week of a gentleman who had a bucket list item, wanted to land at LaGuardia in his Cessna 150. And he went and did that. By the time the dust was all settled, cost him $387 for the privilege.
For a touch and go?
That's all?
You can do that at Logan. And it'll cost him another thing.
Yeah. So, okay. Last item under treasurer, approval of the fiscal year 2026 budget.
Okay, that's in here, right? Susan, that's got a minute ago.
Yeah.
This was in, right about page 33 in the package. Okay, we talked about all the details about all the revenue items. The biggest change, structural change, if you will, between this budget and other years is the additional space in this building that's going to be rented. We're still working on the details of it. It's going to be somewhere around that number total. It may be a little less for a while, but at the end of the day, that's our target. So we may be, Susan, help me here. This number, the total number for the year was the 140.
Yes.
Is that assuming they come in January, or?
That's right about it. It's projected with additional income on 10/1/2025.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. So that would make, so maybe 1 month. It's probably going to be less than that out of the gate.
Yes.
But, we've been kind of catch-22ing this thing for a while, trying to get the commitment from the new owners to, having the need to have a budget at the same time. So we're going to be talking about variances the rest of the year anyway. So I don't know if you want to, I'm open to discussion about lowering that a bit.
I think we could lower it to about 110.
That would do if we started in
January. That's about October, November, December. That's 3 months.
Okay, that still sounds high.
All right. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be 70 or 80.
Okay.
But I guess I don't know if everybody's okay with this. There's two line items or two sections. Obviously, the revenue piece of it is affected by this building. And then the expenses. So the expenses won't change. The difference is that we're going to start getting co-rating, what's referred to as CAM, commonly maintenance. In other words, the tenants are going to start sharing with it in the overhead of the building. So basically, the expenses won't change, but the revenue should go up to cover the expenses. Initially, the thought was to have one of the main tenants take over the whole building and just pay a flat amount and let them worry about all the maintenance and all that stuff. Well, that's then kind of turned on its head a little bit. But the bottom line, everybody should still be okay. Instead of having one tenant and then all the other tenants pay them and they give us one check, we'll be getting checks directly from every tenant in here. So that's going to be the only difference, operationally. The bottom line is that the revenue is going to go up, obviously significantly from last year. Last year we only had about $55,000. Mm. Yeah. We're in the 26. This is in the projected right now. So that's definitely, so I'm thinking that's going to go up significantly. I don't think it's too enough on that one. Rest of the items are pretty, I just want to talk about the rest of the items first. The other items, there's not a lot of, the landing fees, that's still the current amount, that's without the increase.
but we're not going to increase it until January 1. So again, that's going to go up a little bit. I'm not really interested in changing that right now, but we know that's a variable. The tie-down income is pretty much somewhat of a known, unless everybody starts falling in place for the ramp. Registration fees, that's always an annual guess. It's been right around that number for a while. Interest income has been pretty helpful. The CD rate that Susan's found, we've been investing a lot of our idle cash, if you will. So that's been doing pretty well. So we're going to, assuming the rate stays somewhat static the rest of the year, that should work. The wages and benefits area, there's a certain, there's an assumption of I'm not sure if it's percentages, but there are increases in that projected. And each employee has a different anniversary date, and that whatever change in the payroll is addressed at that anniversary date. Apparently there's a note here that the contribution rate for the pension looks like it went down a little bit, mm-hmm. which is nice. Something goes down. We're okay with health insurance, Susan?
Yeah.
That's a good number.
It's a good number. It may go into variance. If I'm able to switch from a family to a double, yeah. I may be doing that in January. If not,
okay.
Sometime during
the year. Sure. But we're not seeing a 30% increase from our carrier,
right.
Correct? Okay.
So it would be lower.
Okay. So again, the utility, that's all pretty straightforward. The auditing fees, those are all pretty static. What I'm seeing, water, sewer, and heating, all that stuff, that's not for this building, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's the other building, pretty much, and other, the runway lights, everything else but this building.
Correct.
Fuel farm maintenance, which we continue to accrue a number every year for the inspections and the tank inspections. Everything that might be changing with the new operating agreement. Again, not a lot of repairs and maintenance on vehicles. That's always an educated guess. That looks like nothing broke this year. Right about the right amount of stuff broke.
It's not going to sell this year, so nothing.
Yeah, we're getting off easy.
So that's a variable based on just use of equipment, snowstorms and all that stuff. So that brings us down. The marketing, we have cut back on that a little bit over the years. The highlights in yellow. That again is projected expenses for this building. That is. Say again?
I think they were changed.
Well, my point is these items here, those are all for this building, correct?
No, sorry.
The 79. Right.
The 79?
Yes.
I believe that was after 10-1 when they were supposed to be taking over the building.
So those are actually too low.
They're too low.
Okay.
So I thought they were going to be taking over them.
Okay, so that's the bottom line is, okay.
So those are going to go up.
So let's hold off on that for a second. I'll just keep going with the rest of the stuff. And 97, that's the other building, that's the former maintenance building that is now where we used to be.
What number did you just say there?
97.
Yeah, that's Brickhammer.
That's not.
93 is the other maintenance
93,
building.
Yeah. So that's another tenant, and that's a top. the minus. And that's that plus, let's go back to that for a second, Susan. So that's 97 Pine Hill. That's the new lease?
This lease here?
The 97 up on the new side?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that's good. And then the expenses are just whatever the expenses are.
Yes.
Okay. Are the 93 somewhere else?
93 is up in is in here. That's up top a little bit.
It's not 97, not 79.
It's buried into that that number.
Got
everything
it.
Everything else. This building
and the brick.
93 includes all the electricity lines.
Right.
Gates and the runway lights, taxi lights, all that stuff.
Tomato plant.
Workers' comp, not a lot of issues there. Liability insurance, that's pretty static. And the fuel, strong pretty much. Thankfully, we have no interest expense. And the rest of it's just money or any kind of office supplies and whatnot. So, I guess what we can do is propose to accept the budget subject to the changes in these two items.
The building 79.
The building 79 changes. I mean, do you want to do that or just put it off and just...
I mean, do we think we'll have a better handle?
We will.
January?
We were supposed to have a better handle today.
Yeah, but we're not going to have a December meeting, right?
Correct.
So January
we should have a final.
What we can do is we're going to know in the next week or two. What those numbers are.
Okay, the numbers that are not highlighted.
Yeah.
But if you kind of look into the third column from that was my original amount projected there.
Yep.
So I think the electricity might be a little bit higher. But if you look at the numbers in comparison to last year, those were.
I don't think
that's about right. So
these are for this building, because I know every time I sign a check, it's about $5,000.
But that's not just for this building.
I know, so I'm getting that. So these are
the numbers that we're originally
going
off of
on
our sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are basically the proposed.
That's the proposed budget.
Yes.
That's already in the system, like we talked about earlier.
So, yeah.
So I guess, with that said, if everything,
I think the only thing that we would need to adjust would be the income for 79, the revenue.
And the expenses.
It's all timing now.
Right. So what this is saying is that basically if this building just keeps staying the way it is right now, we're still going to be in a surplus situation. We're going to be in business, right? Because we're going to $4,000 bottom line.
Right now, I have the proposed revenue for 79
at $55,000, right. So my point is in that when you have 26 projected, the bottom line here, the net income is $4,020.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're going to be somewhere between 4,020 and 133,420.
Correct.
Okay, either way, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're only going to grow your income.
Exactly.
Baseline.
Okay. That 4,000 can only go up.
Right.
So. Okay. So how do you get, what do you want to do with this thing? You want to approve it subject to those two changes? Or just let it go into January and we'll have
Are we at any kind of clock?
Not really. Susan's been put it in the system and we've been monitoring it, to make sure there's nothing crazy happens.
If we're not on a clock, I'd be okay with pushing it in January.
Okay. Yeah, and there's nobody looking for it. It's important to do, just to make sure that, we are going to be not in a problem at the end of the year. As a fiduciary, we need to make sure we're not running a deficit, which is...
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Are you making a motion to put off this January?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we need a motion to put it off to January.
Table.
We're just going to table that item until January.
Third thing.
Yeah, no worries.
And Larry, this can give you some time to get up to speed with us. Because I know there's a lot of confusion, I'm sure, right now.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, but we'll explain it to you.
Yeah. I have a question if I'm not out of order.
No, not at all.
This is building 79, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How many tenants are going to be occupying this building?
Total right now? Four.
Four?
Plus the airport authority, we have two offices in there.
And how many proposed, or how many do you have lined up to move into this building?
There'll be...
One more.
Yeah, one more.
One more?
In theory.
Oh, wait, no, that's, I got that in the four.
For the four.
Okay. Holy pilot.
We still have another space, though.
Right. So basically, and we're going to talk a little bit about this in the next session, but there are still available space to rent.
How much space is available?
4,000 feet.
You can sign up right now.
We're looking people. About 3,000, about 2,000 feet.
2,000
feet. Oh, wait. 9, 13, about 2,500 feet, square feet.
How much per square foot is going right there?
It depends. We generally reserve non-public sessions for discussing leases and things like that. But it depends on the number of square feet that the tenant takes. And the type of space. But it is restricted to aviation use. So we're, you know, we've got a total of 7,000 rentable in here. 7,600 square feet rentable. There's a lot of wasted space. I shouldn't say wasted, but...
Common area.
Common, yeah. There's a lot of comfort space.
A lot of hallway in this building.
Hallway.
Not a lot of wall.
Atrium areas.
Yeah, we got the atrium, we got the kitchen.
Kitchenette, utility rooms, closets.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a nice space. It's just, it was never built to lease out. It was built for classrooms and education.
I spent a lot of class time in this building back then.
Yeah.
Prior to Webster.
Chris, you don't have to eat.
Yeah. Was Warren Rudman there?
Yeah. Warren Rudman, Kurt Sheffield, Jim K. Posey.
Okay, so that's what's happening here. You know, there's still a few moving pieces on the budget, you know, pluses and minuses. But at the end of the day, we're going to be okay, and we'll have some solid numbers in the next meeting, the January meeting. Cool. Well, we'll have solid numbers next week, hopefully. But and there's other things happening that are going to increase our revenue as well.
So, okay, we're going to table approval of the FY 2026 budget to January 7th. Any other questions for David before we move on? Okay. So, communications. We have one communication from Jim Samposi, E1442, land lease transfer. We'll take that up under new business. Brings us to reports. And then the first is the tower report. And that's your favorite. Yeah.
I can never understand that thing, so that's why we do it. Fuck out.
Landing fees.
So it looks like for September we had 7,334 total operations, up 1,691 month over month, 30% rise.
And that's comparing it to the August or to last September?
It's to August. So year over year, that's up, 1,499 from the previous September, or 26%.
A banger month year over year.
Yeah. And that brought our operations from minus 15% year to date to minus 11%, versus the year before.
Jobs are good for GA farming, aren't they?
October, 5,597 operations, down 737 versus September, or 10%, or up, 787 year over year, or 14%. So we're catching up a little bit versus a year ago.
Yeah.
Down by 8% at this point. And let's see, next up, airport managers.
Well, if it doesn't snow, Farrell, hopefully we can catch up. Okay, upcoming events, none. We have no snow coming this year. Other items of interest, on October 26th, I hand-delivered the runway crack sealing and runway marking project grant offer to New Hampshire DOT, and I'll skip to the very end here on the 12th. The runway crack sealing and runway marking project grant has been approved by New Hampshire Governor and Council, and Matt and Daniel will probably talk more about this. On the 10th of October, I had the privilege of attending the New Hampshire Aviation Museum Gala, and it was quite a turnout. It was up in Manchester, and they raised quite a lot of money this year to fund the STEM education programs that they're involved with. Dick Van Grunsven was the guest speaker, the founder of Van's Aircraft, and everybody got to meet him. That was really neat. But phenomenal turnout and a lot of generous donations because they do a lot of good for aviation. Perimeter Road, paving projects finally completed. Yay. Only took us 8 years.
I heard that Terrence and Infinity kind of greased the palms of some aldermen in town.
Okay. We won't talk about that.
That was great. That was a good effort by everybody. Christmas, I know that you were a dog after a bone for a long time in that. And Jessica with her love letter to the
for the city.
It just
put a lot of pictures.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Great. Now, they did a fantastic job, too. I'm impressed with the work they did.
Yep. And it was done quickly.
On schedule. They really did a good job.
Yeah. Good.
So we're happy with it. I had people call me and thanking God over this one. Oh, my God. Other things to talk about on the 18th, I want to thank everybody who attended the Rob Holland Tribute Pilot Gathering, and a thank you to Terry Nathanson for helping out with the organization of the event. Members of ICAST, I get too much Rob in my head.
Yeah.
IAC-35 flew a missing man formation in honor of our dear friend Rob Holland. It was a very well attended event. And it was...
That was a great event.
Yep. It's safe to say that Rob's family, Jess included, were happy with the tribute. His parents, his sister, everybody seemed content. On the 24th, our dear friend and colleague, Robert C. Bob, as we all know him, Bird, passed away. He passed away on the 11th. and want to thank everybody who attended and contributed to his celebration of life ceremony. Fitting tribute to a great man who will truly be missed by all. Again, an amazing turnout. We had the Hollis VFW. They did a gun flag salute. The Air Force did the flag portion of it, and it was just phenomenal. And there was probably close to 300 people in attendance for that. Bob did. You know, I'll share a little story here. I had a discussion with Shane, who he worked for 15 years. I hope Shane's all right me sharing this, but, you know, I said to him, I said, you know, Shane, everybody loved Bob.
Right.
Everybody loved Bob. And even if Bob had to tell somebody, they still loved him. And, you know, I said, and then Shane said, well, you know, it's amazing for somebody to be loved by everybody and to not even be disliked by anybody and to finish your life like that. That's a unicorn of a person. He just, everybody loved him. I don't think there's anybody in this room that didn't, you know, appreciate Bob, and he always put everybody else ahead of himself. And he's missed. Let's see, on the 24th, Eldon Richards met with the Hampshire DOT to facilitate our annual 5010 inspection, which is when the FAA comes out, I'm sorry, the DOT comes out, Hampshire DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, and they camera all the runways and all the obstructions everywhere and inspect the pavement, the taxiways, et cetera. And haven't got the results from this yet. And I think the only thing that we're going to fall short on is the lack of markings on the runway, but that's being addressed during the crack seal and runway remarking project. I think we're good with obstructions, et cetera, but we'll see when we get the 5010. And just so everybody knows, the 5010 is what populates the supplemental, or the old little green book that everybody was familiar with. All that data gets generated through this 5010, so we keep it up to date annually. If anybody ever notices anything in that that looks off, let me know, and we can have it changed. On the 28th, I met with the Hampshire Aviation Museum representatives, Bob Huff, Jeff Rapsis, and Nathan McDonald, and we discussed next year's annual fly-in barbecue. We've had that event here for several years now. Next year, we're going to, at the same time, we're going to have a Young Eagles event and hopefully a small antique Warburg fly-in at the same time, just to, you know, satisfy a lot more people that are aviation enthusiasts and museum people. So Bob Bird, again, was a huge part of that in the past, and it was amazing when they came down here to ask me about all this. Like, the overwhelming statement was, what are we going to do? Because we relied so heavily on Bob. So he said, well, we'll forge ahead. So we look forward to having that event with the Hampshire Aviation Museum, and hopefully have more events here at the National Airport with the Hampshire Aviation Museum. They're good friends of ours, too, even though they're based in Manchester.
Right.
Yep.
Tell them exactly
that. Well, on the 30th, I held our annual snowplow crew meeting. We went over to Willie Jules Barbecue, which, another sad event. Willie Jules is no longer. Willie Jules has closed the doors. But we had our snowplow meeting there, and we're all ready for snow if and when it happens.
How many did we bring in, Chris? Three or four?
How many bring in?
How many extra crew do we bring in for the snowplow? Three or four extra people?
Oh, you're talking my part-timers?
This crew, yeah.
Okay, so I have, we have Dave Simmons,
yeah.
Bob DeMeo,
okay.
Griffin, and occasionally Bob Donadio when he's not in Florida.
Okay. And then
Eldon, Joe, and myself.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
And I already talked about the crack sealing, and again, Matt and Daniel will talk more about that. Is anybody any questions? Going once?
Busy month.
Yeah.
We lost two good people. We recognize two good people, for sure.
Okay, so next report, airport engineer.
They've been talking with it. Tell us what's going on.
No. I'm going to have to listen to Chris and everything he's been doing for a lot.
Looks like it's none, and none.
Good evening. Matt Herring with Gabriel, accompanied by Jamie Carrion. Three projects that are on our monthly update for this month. The first one is the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha. Happy to report that everyone has been made whole on that project. The closeout is done. Reimbursements are paid, and this project will be coming off the monthly update moving forward.
Okay.
So if there's any questions on that, I will move on. The relocation of the A-Walk in the SOG. So if you recall, this project was just waiting for construction reimbursable agreements on the FAA. That was received, I think, a week and a half ago. Chris and I were going through it, noticed an inconsistency in it. Meeting minutes from this project. They essentially were talking about doing a flight check for the AWOC, which is unnecessary. Took a little bit to get a hold of some of the FAA to have them confirm that, in fact, that shouldn't be in there. So that is not going to be needed, so there's no additional expense or anything like that necessary for a flight check. So at this point in time, we have been getting some submittals from the contractor. We're reviewing those, going back and forth with that company and that individual. And we will start putting together a schedule to get the AWOCs relocated.
Any idea what roughly that will be? That's going to be a spring thing?
Probably late winter, early spring is my guess there. The reimbursal agreement is riddled with, you know, like 21-day notification, 30-day notification, things like that. So I'm a little hesitant to give you like a specific time frame. So I'd say probably like late winter, early spring would make sense. But we'll nail something down, and as we come back to the authority, we'll give you guys a better timeline. Any other questions on that? Okay, the runway centerline track sealing project, Chris kind of addressed this. In his update, the governor and council did approve that project back on November 12th. So at this point in time, everything is in place to start that project. We just need to wait for the appropriate weather. Above the 50 degrees is what we're looking for. So come springtime, this project is shovel ready. It's ready to go. Of course, you can beat the hell out of the markings this winter all you want, and we'll put some new ones down.
It's not love.
spring. So.
Okay, so it, we can get it down in the spring then.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Everything is in place at this point in time.
Yep. 2 years later.
Better late than never. Any questions on that project? Any questions at all for Gale Associates?
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
So, committees. We have no outstanding committees at the moment. Old business, so we have nothing on the agenda for that. So, brings us to new business, E-1442, land lease transfer. So I have here a request to be placed on the active airport authority member agenda, permission to assign land lease for lot E-1442 Severn Perimeter Road.
I'm Jim Tamposi, trustee of the Tamposi Family Revocable Trust that owns the hangar. And after all these years, we've decided to sell it. And Scott Burrows is here, and he's going to be the buyer. He formed an LLC called Hangar 7 LLC. And we'd like to close early next week before Thanksgiving.
It took me a while to figure that out.
Okay. Motion done?
Yep, motion done.
Yeah, look at you, Joe.
I know. That's all I got.
Hey, everybody has value.
Yeah. I'll talk to you about that after, see if that's really true for me. We put forth a motion authorized the James N. Tamposi and Shirley C. Tamposi Family Revocable Trust of 2015 transfer land lease E-1442 7 Perimeter Road to Hangar 7 LLC under the existing terms and conditions, and authorize the chairman to sign necessary related documents.
I'll second that one. Okay, any further discussion on the landing transfer?
Controversial.
Okay. So with that, all those in favor of transferring, the land lease as described by Joe, please say aye.
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 Okay.
That motion carries. Congratulations.
Scott, would you like to hear?
Burroughs.
Burroughs.
Okay, and our next new business item, One Source Security.
Hey everybody, I'm Brad Kupkowitz from One Source Security. I'm just going to talk about a project that Chris and I have been working on for a while.
3 years.
Has it been that long?
I don't know.
It's been a long time. All the information's in that pamphlet that I gave you, like down.
Sure. Yeah, we only had four, so somebody else this year.
I have another one if you need that.
That's all right.
I know it's all right. So, One Source has been doing business with the airport for many years. We take care of the gates, the access control portion of the gates that you have now when they break. They don't break a lot, but when they do break, we're running out of technicians that know how to fix them, number one. You have to...
Is it still MS DOS that runs those things?
I think so.
Yeah.
You have to go up to it, I believe, with a laptop to program it. And
it's just an
antiquated system.
I saw a Commodore 64 plugged into the stuff.
So it's an Abacus all to it, too.
So I'm not here to say, no, you definitely need to do this, but right. It's a project that Chris bring you into a new...
Yeah, we need it.
So we looked at a product called Gallagher, which is an access control product that we sell to schools and colleges, prisons, hospitals all over the state and New England for that matter. I primarily stay within the state of New Hampshire, and I've been doing this for a long time, as you can tell. The only problem with Gallagher was the fact that the transmission of signals to the main building here from the gate was going to require either trenching from gate to building or a point-to-point. We came out and did our testing, found that we really didn't think that was going to be a solution just because of the design of where the gates are. So we came up with our next solution, which does everything Gallagher does. It's called Revo. It's a cloud-based system, and it's slick. We have it in many, many places, and it works great. The Revo is a cloud, again, it's a cloud-based system. We're going to put cellular communicators inside each one of the gates, at each gate, that it's going to basically send a signal over the Wi-Fi, back to the main headquarters. People here will be able to log onto a computer. They'll be able to get on their phones. You're going to be able to talk from the gate to either a phone or a computer. And people can let you in. You can talk to them if you want. It's a pretty slick thing. It's going to cost a lot less than the other systems, but it's going to have a yearly fee because of everything that's hosted in the cloud.
And if you want to talk about some of the hardware, Brad, we're going to have cameras with all these systems now, too, so that we can see who comes in and out of the gates.
Yeah.
Still have call access at gate 13.
Three gates that are going to have the intercom system attached, as well as all five gates will have a camera at each gate. The cameras are Brevo Eagle Eye cameras, so the cameras are also going to integrate with the access control system, so it's kind of seamless. When somebody presents a credential or presses a button, the camera's going to be activated as well. It'll always record the entire event, and it'll keep it stored in the cloud for 30 days in the event you need to review for something that it might have.
And Brad, while we're talking about the credentials, you want to discuss what the
yep.
different types of credentials that we can use?
We haven't landed on an exact number or type of credential yet, but you can use a FOB, like many of you probably have, you know, your businesses, a card, or a cellular phone.
So
you have a mobile app to have it work as well.
Is it capable of face recognition?
Yeah.
So if
you don't even need to, you need to have nothing if you want to set up the facial recognition.
Look at the camera and
so we have options, yes. Is what it boils down to.
Okay, so we wouldn't have to submit the face recognition, for instance.
Oh, no, we don't have to.
So does each person choose what credential they want to use?
I would recommend that you, as an airport,
yes,
make that determination for.
Okay, well, my point is they can. You can have 4 or 5 different credentials.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So it's up to us to say, all right, we're going to do this for these people and this for these people, and that's it.
Yep.
Most likely, most people are going to be using their cell phones.
Yeah.
Everybody carries a cell phone.
Yeah.
And maybe as a backup, have a FOB or a card. Our existing cards will work with this system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so one of the things that's, I guess what I felt was missing, and this kind of was highlighted a few years ago when we had the break-in, was that we don't, when somebody puts a card on the gate right now, it goes through, we have no idea who that is. All we know is somebody opened the gate at that time.
You know who it is now.
Yep, it's all recorded.
So even though the card is similar, the card we have now, we can use, that's one of the credentials we can use. It'll now be keyed into a person?
Yes.
Okay.
What question?
I actually have a couple of questions. Natural fishing game when you apply?
Because we just went through that.
I don't know.
Okay. I would have to look. Because we just went through that, changed over card, and they're trying to figure out how to use that.
Right.
Do you know what system it is?
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, they said that's coming to us at the club.
Yeah.
That they're going to be using now. So.
Right. I would have to look. I honestly,
okay,
we had
just
8,000 customers in
right.
National
the only one he remembers is us.
The system we have.
Yeah.
I know there are a whole bunch of people who think that if you wave your card, there's a record of who you are.
Susan knows the number in her office.
I have
the
number.
You do, but
that person,
the machine doesn't care, doesn't have that number anywhere.
Right, but she can look
what?
And see that.
But yeah, if you have card 1, 2, 3, it's the presumption is that the owner of 1, 2, 3 used the card, but 4, 5, 6 could use 1, 2, 3, and all we know is that 1, 2, 3 was.
Well, that would be true with the new system.
It sounds like you can capture video.
Now, wait a minute. No, if I go through the gate, Susan has, nobody has any idea it was me.
Right.
Nobody knows
that. No,
car,
we have
not registered anywhere.
Right.
Well, that's not true, Dave.
The new system.
No, hold on. So when I go through the gate to hit the, anybody, not me, it's me, anybody, the gate opens. At that point in time, that information is gone.
Currently.
I don't know about that. Currently.
No.
It's not real time. I can't get a real time date, but I have every card in our system associated with the person.
I know you do that.
I can go to the gate and I can download all the information for anyone who went through the gate.
And it shows what cards came through.
And it shows me who came through the gate at that.
Okay.
I'm confused
because when that event happened a bunch of years ago, I thought that we couldn't figure out who it was that came through the gate.
You can go to the gate now.
No, I know. I thought there was no way of doing that.
It doesn't give you a time.
Yeah, okay.
It just said all these numbers went through the gate.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
They're all guilty.
It just compiled one data file.
Right. I knew there was something about that. Okay.
So the new system will again record what card was used, what time was used, and then you could go to the video and see what did it match the person.
Put 3, 4, 5, 6 using 1, 2, 3.
Right. Who's on the other end of the intercom?
You.
That's 24/7 call service.
You can have it go to a phone. You can have it come to the office. To a base station if you want, or a computer. There's any number of different variations.
Can it be different at different parts, different times of day?
Can what be different?
I suppose we could program it to do that. Yeah.
No worries. Somebody, let's say a delivery or somebody, somebody, I just remember the jet engine that was being delivered.
Can somebody, if they get here at 5 in the morning, is there going to be somebody...
There's call box access.
But who's on the other end of the call box?
Whoever they call. Whether they're calling Infinity, myself, or whoever's programmed into the box.
So, right. But that's not the intercom. That's not the intercom. That's actually a phone number that somebody has.
What that means is, like, at 5 in the morning, if box 5, you know, Infinity up ramp there, you know, it's like, you know, someone gets over there and calls, and there's no one in Infinity right then, it's going to go to an answering
machine. Yeah, they're going to wait. Right.
Or it can be sent to somebody in a text, and that person stays present.
You can go to the phone,
only certain people, by the way, administrative, are allowed to unlock a door or a gate in this case from outside a geographical area of the airport, just so you know.
Like, for instance, Dave, I get calls for the pest control people, et cetera, and it's usually after hours, late, and I can let them in from anywhere. And we have a camera on that gate, so I can look over and see and make sure. Of course, I know these people already.
Okay. But, all right. That sounds great. So, did the cameras get activated when someone...
The cameras are recording on motion all the time.
Okay. Is there any kind of quote-unquote intelligence behind that?
Yes. There's AI intelligence behind the cameras. It'll do a facial recognition if you want, and it'll send it... It integrates. It's a true integration between Brevo and Eagle Eye, the same company.
Okay. Is it recording license plate numbers, for instance?
No. It could possibly get a license plate if the camera was put in the right... license plate camera recognition is a tricky thing when it comes to cameras. We sell cameras that will get a license plate. Absolutely. The ones at the toll booth will get a license plate at 80 miles an hour. We sell other cameras, not so expensive as an $8,000 toll booth camera, but a $2,500 camera can do a license plate specifically on the license. It kind of gets a vision of the car, but it's looking at that license, especially at night. It's difficult to get a license plate with any camera, but there are specific cameras for a license plate.
And we talked about that. These can be added later if we choose to, but they are very expensive.
Okay.
Well, there's a database for those. So even though we could capture a license plate, but we wouldn't have access to whose license plate that is.
I'd have to call it.
And my reason for the question is just, you know, I want to be sensitive to, you know, people's privacy.
Right. Sure. No, they're not designed to get a license plate that was a specific camera.
Okay.
But as Chris mentioned, and we've spoken, you could add it later.
Sure.
The Brevo Eagle Eye isn't proprietary, so you can bring in any kind of specific camera to use with Eagle Eye.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I don't know if you were done with your pitch yet.
No, just, we've been around for 30 years. We have, like I mentioned, we have customers from 150 schools that I do in the state of New Hampshire, prisons, hospitals, and whatnot. A lot of my information is there. I'm happy to. We're local.
Okay.
We have 25 local technicians. We don't subcontract any of our work. We're very well known. And
known for a past life. Yeah.
Is that covered by an FAA grant?
No, it's not. No. They will not.
No, they wouldn't.
You have a school on premise? Your flight school?
Yeah.
Apply for the New Hampshire School Grant. This just came out with $10 million. We're giving out $150,000 to each school in the state. There's a school in here.
It's an avenue to chase, I guess.
Okay, you have an extra item.
Yep.
So what are we not doing that, I know... Yeah, you've done a great job proposing this and working with Chris and everything and developing this system. What are we not getting? What do you think that we could get that we're not doing?
So the only difference between what I wanted to, I wanted to go with this product called Gallagher because Gallagher is a It has its own built-in alarm system,
yeah.
which really doesn't mean a lot here.
Right.
But it also has a fence perimeter alarm, which is really...
like an invisible dog fence?
Like, you know, more like in a prison fence.
Yeah, okay.
You can run it along the perimeter of, you were ever going to do anything like
sure.
that. But those are the only two features that Gallagher has that Revo doesn't. They don't concentrate on that sort of thing.
Okay.
But the benefit of what you have is Revo Cellular is slick. It's it's perfect for this application.
Okay.
And I've had my inside engineer, I fought with him because I didn't want to sell anything other than Gallagher. And he said, no, you need to do the Revo. And we came back out, took a look, and said, yep, this is the way to go.
Yeah, I know you've been back and forth with us for a while with Chris.
Luckily, we're only right up the street.
Yeah, it
was tricky because of the location of the gate. The distance,
right.
We can't trench, there's no conduit in the ground ahead of time, it was never set up for this. And so the only option is the cellular. We looked at the bridging, I contemplated doing the bridging, we had his folks come out and they were like, this is way too complex.
So basically, you know, what we're worried about is, you know, the biggest concern, and one of the reasons we started doing this was because, you know, the system we have is antiquated, no question about it. But, you know, we've got people here, especially now with a new regime going on, they're going to be bringing some pretty expensive equipment in. And we want to make sure that we can tell them, we've got this thing, we got you covered. And so I don't want to miss anything. And these guys, the people that operate these things, you know, the aircraft and whatnot, they see a lot of different airports. And one of the benefits of this airport that we sell is that you don't have to have a badge to go through security. Okay. But that also could be a negative because it you know, sometimes these guys with a $60 million aircraft, they like the security.
When you say you don't need a badge to get in, don't you have a keypad now to get in?
Well, he's talking ID badges.
What I'm talking about is going to Logan.
Yeah.
Going
credentials, ID credentials,
FTs or Hanscom Field. You know, I rented hangar space in P's once. I had to have a lanyard and a thing. You know,
you have to have a security background clearance.
Oh yes. But so I guess what I'm getting at is I don't want this system to fall short for this group of people that are going to be using it. It's a different group of people, and I want to make sure that don't do that. Why not? Every airport has it. That's the problem.
Well, you certainly can't add badging to it.
We're not going to do that.
No. I'm saying. I just want to make sure that you know, just fundamentally, this system can keep only open the gate for the people that deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We know who they are. And we know where they come in. So if any bad actors or anything happens, we can trace back either through camera, 30 days of storage, or the data saying, this guy came in at 10:06 in the morning, and that's when this incident happened. I want to be able to make sure we can do that. That's all.
I can assure you, you're going to have all of that on board.
Okay, great.
West? I apologize because I was a techie for 40 years.
Oh, I'm not, so let's go.
So, who's the cloud service?
Who's the cloud service? I believe it's Revo themselves.
They host their own cloud. They don't
I don't believe so.
They're
one
of
the first
services of any of other companies.
No, I believe they were one of the first. Revo started probably 30 years ago. They've been the first. They are the best in the cloud. There's another few other cloud services that do this. In fact, most of them are getting into it. So I'm not sure. Again, that's why I asked what system you guys use. They're all trying to follow this company.
Okay. And you can find these, Wes, drive around, go to parking garages in Boston,
right.
Logan, they're all Brevos everywhere.
I actually were concerned about computer security. Just for instance, I was with a company that used Amazon Web Services.
Yes.
And they were too relaxed in setting up administrator access to their cloud, which is hosted by Amazon. And they actually got to come to a ransomware attack. Somebody got in, grabbed all their data, locked it up, and demanded money on our lives.
So we're gonna have a very secure password system. We're gonna use airport as our password.
We're gonna use the Lou.
Full
right?
Capital
Lou.
And lowercase.
Lou.
So anyway, my
he hasn't bought the building yet.
My question more had to do with if that were to happen to the cloud service. And there are nasty people out there trying to do that. Would that mean that no one could get into the airport?
I can't answer that.
Is there a manual override on every gate?
Some bolt cutters would get us in the airport.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can disable anything out there as the airport authority. Get into lock boxes, disable it, take the clutch out of play from the inside.
And then have to manually lift the gate.
Yeah, but I mean, these things could probably happen to any system, is my guess. Right. I think that's
right.
There are
nasty people out there looking for victims everywhere.
What about power failure?
There's battery backups in all of our gates.
Right now?
Yep, and the diesel have the same.
Okay. Is
it's good for X amount of hours.
Does the technology get you just at the entry points? Is there any coverage once you're inside? Or is it pretty much just the entry point?
Just the gate and the camera at the gate. One other thing I should mention, Revo has a local presence here as well as a company. We will come in here and we'll train you. However long it takes to be able to understand and use the system, is online training, and Brian Kalis, who's my Revo person, I wanted him to come here tonight, but he wasn't able. He could have answered your question.
He was busy taking care of the security breaches.
I'm just going to say, the ransomware attack. Now, at some point, we'll have a stakeholder or user kind of process where people from the main CEOs and the stakeholders in the court, they can get trained on how to...
But there's not going to be a lot of difference as far as the user goes, Dave.
Right.
So we're going to sell them credentials as we always have, whether it be a phone credential, a fob, or another card, or they use their existing cards, and all they have to do is present at the gates, and it's really no different.
So rather than a blackout, let me ask this. Does the cloud service have to be up and running in order for gate access?
No, they'll continue to work as long as the battery backups, which are in the panels, will last. So what that means is you have 2 7-amp power batteries inside each panel. It'll continue to work until the batteries run out. So if you lose power for a week and you have 10 people come in and out, I don't know if we lose power. I don't know how many people get in their planes and come to work. I don't know, but through the gate. Eventually, it will die until the power comes back on.
We've lost power here once in the 8 years that I've been here.
This is a pretty stable grid.
But it was only a single phase that we lost.
What about the data outage part of it? Well,
be stored in the panel. Then it will be uploaded to the cloud once the power comes
Where's
back
the panel?
On.
But if the power is still...
It's at the gate. There's a little panel at each gate.
Okay.
It's just a little square box that's the brains of each. And each gate has its own individual panel. Has its own each individual cellular communicator. It's like a little radio. And,
So if the power's good...
Yeah.
Say the data's all sideways, right? The cloud, that stuff. Does it still electromechanically work so you can go through the gate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's not data and power dependent.
Correct.
To physically function.
Right. It's going to take the people who come in the gate, hold it in the panel until we
the
have
data, whatever,
and then it uploads it.
So there's a local access point to every gate card or fob that's keyed is stored locally so that
when
the local authentication in the cloud in order to open the gate or someone who has presented a key card.
When we sell a fob or a credential, and Susan will program this credential, whether it's a phone, a fob, or a card, the first time they go to that gate, it uploads that information to the gate, is
correct.
What your guide
has
told
me. To the cloud or the gate?
The gate, right.
To the gate.
Yeah, to both.
Which will then go to the cloud.
Okay.
So in times of an outage,
so there must be a local access list. So the cloud is worked out.
Right.
We should still be able to come and go, and then it can catch up with some subsequent.
Absolutely.
Watch.
All you're losing is data storage when the cloud's down, really, because it's all stored locally.
Except for the facial recognition, which then can happen in the cloud.
That's just a lot of problems. Again, that's another question I can't answer tonight. I don't want to give you the wrong information.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of questions. I don't know if we want to
do
anything.
I know.
I'm disappointed you didn't
ask
the dollar sign question.
He
thought
about it.
Oh, I didn't get a copy of it.
Oh.
So I don't
we were keeping it for you, Greg.
I knew it a while ago.
All the rest of it.
So do you all make a motion and purchase this thing?
Yeah.
With
all in favor, aye.
So, but I actually have a follow-up question on the subscription. Do you have a feeling, or do you have some data as to what the escalation is every single year? So, like, we're going to pay 10% more a year, 20% more, all of a sudden we're paying 100% more. You know, the market on our old system is cheap because we have to maintain it. But
I'm going to tell you that without hesitation, that number is good for 5 years. I haven't seen them raise.
I didn't see that part. I saw the purchase part.
So the purchase part, purchase price is the stuff.
And the Dell and Shell stuff.
And the annual.
It's around $3,000 a year. Which really, I've seen systems out there that are a lot more money than that.
So Chris, is there anything they need to take and accept the motion on tonight?
If you'd like to make a motion, we'll move forward with this, and we'll order the
system. Is it a motion, or is it just another
expense? Well, it's kind of part of the, it's not really in the budget, because it's not an expense, it's a capital.
Yeah. Larry?
Is this the only proposal that the authority has seen?
I spoke with a few other companies, and to be honest with you, when they saw what they were competing against, they backed out. They said, we can't match that. We did get one other proposal, and it was more than double this cost, and it was an inferior system.
Has the Atari done all RFP?
No.
No, it's not enough money, and it's also, we are very aware of, the diligence that went on in this process. It's been a 2 or 3 year process. And Chris has been involved with not just one source, with different proposals, but also with other security companies. And like Chris said, I mean, there's been proposals upwards of 100,000.
Yeah. This is an exhausting process.
Do we do formal RFPs? No, but do we monitor and work at the process that we go through? Yes. It's not as formal as...
And Brad knows it's been an exhausting process dealing with me.
It's fine.
We're thinking about the motion versus just an expenditure.
No, it's a capital expenditure. It's not the operations. Gotcha. The budget is based on a CapEx budget that buys trucks and big things, and then there's the operating budget, and that's what we were talking about earlier, was the operating budget. Yeah, the $3,000 a year, or whatever it is, for the fees, that'll be in the operating budget. So Larry, do you have any specific concerns, or just...
No, it's just information. Just a question of whether or not, the authority did a follow-up request for a proposal.
Do you think we should?
It depends on whose money you're spending, the city's money, or...
Somewhere else, we're not spending the city's money.
The airport authority is its own entity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's how we manage it.
Yeah.
What? Is there a dollar threshold where you have to do some kind of RFP?
Nope.
No, because the stuff that we spend money on here, Wes, is, it's equipment that's put out to bid in a lot of cases. Auction stuff.
It's not grant money we're talking about.
Or it is grant money. And there's a lot of... there is grant money, and that's the majority of the capital stuff that we do here. That's well beyond any kind of RFP. And then that's when these guys get involved with putting, there's minority businesses, there's this and that, there's all kinds of criteria that go on. And that
in the project kind of budget. So that kind of money, whereas FNA money or state New Hampshire money, you know, the city kicks in 5% of it, there's a huge process there. There's RFPs all over the place for the big stuff. But stuff like this, it's just...
Like a new modularized truck.
And again, Larry, we don't take any operational funding from the city. The only funding we get from the city are matching contributions to the grants that we receive from the federal government for the infrastructure.
So self-supporting?
Yes, yeah, operational, yes.
The city gets about $600,000 to $700,000 a year from us. So the money goes that direction, not the other way.
Thank you. And how would it get your case?
We have these
involves in blood samples.
Very simple.
Retina scan. Electrified calipers.
Just to pivot, was there a pie in the sky question? If you could have it, when would you want it?
Whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Springtime, before the snows, you know, summer.
We're ready.
Is there a lead time?
We have 10 weeks right now for any new project.
Get us on the schedule. So, Jared,
you guys are going to be
primarily the weather won't stop us.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever you can do it.
Put us on the schedule.
You already said it.
Right. Although he had snow.
It's going to be damn cold.
Do we need to...
I think it would be okay to have a motion.
Doesn't hurt, as Bolton said.
Okay. I think that would be a prudent thing to do.
Okay.
So that way...
Okay.
So
we'll put forth a motion to authorize Andrew Lynch to sign the necessary paperwork and engage in contract with OneSource Security for the purposes of the implementation of the access system as outlined in the...
Quote number...
Q, Quebec, 139-18.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of moving ahead, with the gate access system as described in the motion, please say aye.
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 Okay.
We're going to be talking about more numbers.
Yeah.
There's a motion on here that I think we're not...
Do you want to do the motion for the...
Yeah.
Right?
Reimbursable?
Yep.
Okay.
That one's... what's that one related to?
It's related to the... We have to do
the motion. Do we reference that? I guess it's just okay. Well, I'll put forth the motion if we have a discussion about
clarifying.
No, it's just the motion put forth is to authorize Airport Manager Chris Lynch to execute the reimbursable agreement between the Department of Transportation and Federal Aviation Administration. The National Airport Authority to disperse funds of $140,345.18 in three installments of $46,781.73 upon execution, $46,781.73 by 1 April 2026, $46,781.72 by 1 July 2026 as related to the relocation of the AWOS project.
That's a motion. I'm sticking to it. Whatever you said.
Okay. Any discussion on the reimbursable motion?
This again is moving forward on the AWOS project.
Yeah, maybe Matt, for the record, you can just clarify what that was all.
Yeah, no, so that's for the reimbursable agreement, so the construction phase services for the FAA essentially pays them, but the airport gets reimbursed, I think it's 96%, 95 from the Fed, 2.5 from NHGOT, so the 2.5% local share. So you'll get 97.5% of that back.
Any further discussion on the reimbursable motion? Okay, all those in favor of the reimbursable motion as enumerated by Joe Romano, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that motion carries. So, with that, upcoming events, Chris has already discussed that. We're not having any snow this year. Public input as we come to a close of the public session. So, the second public input can be anything that's on your mind, hopefully airport related.
So, is this hangar the last Tamposi property that
inside the secure fence? I've got a building outside.
Those don't count.
You
might give
them a key card. You can turn yours in. I do have a consent that I gave to Sue, but I would like to get that signed tonight because we're going to close like Monday.
Okay.
Are
any of the tenants going to change?
No.
Okay.
I have a comment. Yes. A question, actually, for the board, not really public input, but for all of you. I thought since we sent a service letter to the alderman and everybody, thanks for your help with all that, I thought it might be appropriate for the board to kind of thank you. Maybe sign from all of us, or
I think you should write it.
I don't know, I'm happy to write it.
On the back of your letter.
And they're going to go, oh, it's her again.
Do we want to write something formal? I was thinking about just sending an email to Lisa and thanking the DPW, but I think it would be appropriate to do a more formal thank you.
Yep. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It certainly could work.
Okay.
And I had reached out with a phone call just, but I think a formal letter from the board would be very nice.
Yep.
All right. I'll write the letter if you guys would be willing to sign it.
Awesome.
Okay. I'll present it next month.
I like the first one.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah. Make sure you include pictures
to
before and after.
Yeah. Actually, I've got a video.
Just hey, you missed the spot.
just do a before and after. I'm smiling.
I think a before and after.
I was driving. The whole stretch, it was just this beautiful, nice, beautiful video of the whole road.
The takeaway was the camera wasn't doing this.
Right, that's right.
I think a couple pictures will be good.
Okay, so this brings us to director's comments. So I'll start with Joe.
Okay, I got something for public input.
Let's pull it.
Often I've heard intentions or attempts to build additional hangars in the airport. Is there anything going on with that?
Yes.
Yes.
And that would be?
That would be?
Off of the India Ramp. There's a developer that's going to be developing hangars. I thought you, didn't I give you his contact?
If you did, I don't remember. Okay, last I remember was there were a couple of people that we talked to.
We have a.
They couldn't make the numbers work.
We have a developer that we're working with, and we're looking at having occupancy hopefully by the end of next summer, fall. Okay. Available. These will be for sale.
Okay.
And I will forward you his contact information.
We're about this close to an MOU right now.
Okay.
With him.
And then for the migrant commissioner, I'm sorry, we're going to do the ice truck.
Oh, that's right, but the ice truck, yes, you're supposed to tell them that.
A couple of weeks, it's been coming from Pine, Massachusetts, so.
Nice.
Nice. You're icing it in Asheville.
It takes 2 weeks getting on to here.
Yeah. Well, first I'm coming from Texas now.
Okay.
And this is the airplane de-icing.
Can you state your name for the record?
Oh, FERC Water.
Okay, thank you.
So that's so the next couple of weeks, parents can think that
that's
the truck. Now that's all going to be SWIFT compliant and all that stuff, right?
Right.
That's how we're, you know, you
guys start spraying. If you don't spray in excess of 100,000 gallons, you don't need a reclamation system, right, and it's covered under our current permit.
Yeah.
It's currently under the MSGP permit.
No specific GIS.
Nope.
Right. Then the truck will be parked. All right, awesome. One last hurdle to the truck coming here.
So director's comments, once again, I'll start the show, please.
Larry, welcome. I'm sure it was an enjoyable experience. We're using these for all of us. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Stay warm, it's not going to snow, so I don't have to worry about that. Like I said, so great job by everybody as usual. So thanks. Glad to be part of the team.
This is an exciting time for the airport. Welcome new owners, new legacy, shifting things. New parents just joined us about a month or two ago now.
Yeah, I don't know how too much.
Yep. I'm happy that a lot of the projects, all these projects I've been watching, are coming to fruition. The AWOP is finally going to be moving sound in it. The cracks in the runway are finally getting sealed. And the security system is finally going to get into it. This is all good. I'm happy. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. I agree that this is a fun time to be, part of the board, participating in running the airport. So I'm happy to be here, happy to do that. Wish everyone well. Hopefully Chris's wish will come true and there will be no snow.
It'll be funny.
And welcome to the board. Glad to have you here.
And I heard it was like a food inspection course.
I like to think we're a little more exciting than the Litchfield Mosquito Control Board.
It's a great 48-minute watch if you're bored of YouTube.
could be one of the semi-truck trustees.
I hope that I can be a positive asset to the community and to the board.
Okay. Thank you for stepping up and volunteering your time. I appreciate that.
Volunteering, I thought Jim told me there was a salary involved from $500,000.
We all got 100% raised last year.
I know it said that in the brochure, but
that's how much campaign fund should pay out.
Nice to be back to my home airport in person. You all.
I guess relocated back here now?
No, not yet. I'm hanging on for at least one more season here in Colorado. You can settle snow right over to Colorado.
You could have
it. How are you there, isn't it?
Well, there's snow. It's not enough.
Right.
I guess since this is the last meeting for the year, I'll say congratulations to Fred and Susan and Joe and Alvin and the NAA that keeps it all running pretty much every single day, particularly. Gail, you're a great asset to the airport. Thank you very much for all you do for us. Great to see so many people here, and there not be a problem. We've had a few of those in the past, not recently. And then for the board, obviously signed up for another term because I care very much about the airport, and I appreciate that you all do as well. And thanks for continuing to serve. And welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
I'll keep my seatbelt
back. Over here, do you have any comments?
I hope that I can be a valuable asset, not only to the board, but to the community. I've lived here since 1972.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, very cool. Welcome aboard again. And so with that, I'll put forward a motion to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A32B, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or lease of real or personal property.
Second.
Okay. And let's see.
I think this one gets to be a roll call, right? All those in favor of adjournment?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Raj.
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
And Director Garrett?
Yes. Okay. Motion is sustained, and we are now in non-public. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a point of order.